The last couple of weeks, or the last couple of sermons, we've been focused on the four songs of Christmas, or songs for the Savior. We aren't going to be able to cover all four. I'll mention the one that here in a minute that we didn't get to cover. But a week ago, CJ's one of our elders, preached on Mary's song, or in the Latin, it's called the Magnificat, meaning magnifies. Mary magnifies the Lord and gives him honor and praise and declares him her Savior. I thought CJ did a great job just breaking that down, that Mary, just like us, needed a Savior, and his name is Jesus. I thought he did a great job. Thank you for that, CJ. And a couple of days ago, Jason preached on Zechariah's song, Zechariah being the father of John the Baptist. The Latin for that song is called the Benedictus, meaning blessed or blessed. Blessed is Israel because he has visited and redeemed his people. The third song that we see in the Christmas story that we weren't able to cover, but was the shepherd's song, or the angel's song to the shepherds, excuse me. And that in the Latin is called Gloria in Excelsis Deo. Sound familiar? Glory to God in the highest. Well, tonight we're going to look at the fourth song of the Christmas story. It's the last song. It's Simeon's song. In the Latin, it is the Nunc Dimittis, or now you are dismissing. It's interesting what we have here, and I've never noticed this before. I think I love that about the living word, the Bible, is that God continues to reveal things to us throughout our entire life as we dive in and dig in. I've never noticed until this year that the first two chapters of Luke is a giant musical. It's a musical, which someone from the nerd herd, I kind of like, right? It's four songs declaring the majesty of the coming Christ child, King Jesus, and salvation for all. It is an expression of love and honor and gratitude to the Lord, all done in music. We see it from Mary, again, praising the Lord. From Zechariah, praising the Lord and declaring him the Redeemer of Israel. To the angels, praise of God for the birth of the Christ child and peace to those who know him. And now to an old man at the temple, we believe he was old by tradition, declaring great news for all people. So tonight we're going to look in the book of Luke, chapter 2, 22 through 35. Our sermon is short tonight, but I think there's three things that we can take away from the message and from these verses. So let's dive in, 22 through 35. It'll be up on the screen if you want to follow there. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him, according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that Jesus is the Word. We thank you for sending your Son, who came in such humble means, Father, to save us who desperately needed saving. Father, I thank you for those who are in the room tonight and who are watching online. Lord, I pray that they would celebrate you as King Jesus, And if there is somebody in this room or out there online watching, Father, that does not know you, that they would know you as King Jesus before the night is up. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Well, let me explain what's happening at the temple. Notice that Mary and Joseph are followers of God. I know that sounds, you're probably saying, well, of course they were, but that's not a given. Even as Israelites, that's not a given. But they were followers of God, and they find themselves at the temple. It was probably a little over 40 days after Jesus was born. How do I know that? Well, that's when Mary can go out into public after giving birth by Jewish law. So it was probably 40 days or so after she had given birth to Jesus, and they're there consecrating or dedicating their son Jesus to the Lord to declare him holy, set aside for the Lord, set apart. Now, it's not like what we see in the Old Testament with Samuel being left to the church for Eli to raise and to work and serve in the church, but that he would be declared holy to the Lord. This was for every first male child, as it said in the word there just a moment ago. So they're also, whether they're most likely, if they are followers of God, they're offering a sacrifice for Mary's uncleanliness because she had shed blood during birth. And that offering or that sacrifice was a lamb. That's what was required, was the sacrifice of a lamb, unless they were too poor to provide a lamb. Two turtle doves or a pair of pigeons would work just as well. And we see that they're offering two doves up for this sacrifice. So that also tells us that Mary and Joseph were poor. So not only did God humble himself to come to this earth as an innocent, defenseless baby, he entered this world through a woman out of wedlock at first, right? And not only did he do that, it was a teenage couple, and not only did he do that, he came from humble financial means. He came from a poor family. I think that's what's amazing about our Lord. He could have come in purple robes and a crown already on his head, but he came through a poor family. So we see that they enter the courtyard and they're encountered by a man named Simeon, who is a righteous and devout man, and he has this incredible declaration and prophecy and blessing to bestow to Jesus. Excuse me. And he does it by song. In our short time tonight, I want to look at three takeaways that we can walk away with tonight. The first one is that Simeon was righteous and devout. It means he was a believer in word and in practice. It also tells us that the Holy Spirit was upon him, leading him, guiding him. So Simeon was righteous. He was a righteous man waiting for the consolation of Israel. What does consolation mean? Well, it means that he was waiting for the comfort, the encouragement, the solace of Israel. Did Simeon long, like many other people before him, long to see Israel's reign restored and the throne restored by a sword-carrying, crown-wearing, purple-robed warrior king with an army to back him up? Maybe, because that's what Scripture was talking about. That king's coming. It's the same king that came as a baby. But I think if you look at the Scripture again, if you look at these verses, it says that the Holy Spirit was upon him. He was most likely longing for the new covenant that was stated in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34 says this. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant, a new promise, with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. That is the comfort that he is looking for. That is the consolation that he is looking for. So what are the takeaways from the character of Simeon? Again, he was righteous and devout. He was right with God, living a godly life. And he was living anticipating Christ's arrival day after day in the same manner that we are called to do likewise. So my question is, are you a believer? And are you a believer attempting through the strength of the Holy Spirit to live a life worthy of the gospel? And are you anticipating the return of King Jesus every day? Jesus tells us too in Luke 12:40. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man, that's Jesus, is coming at an hour you do not expect. So just as Simeon lived watching, waiting, and serving on a daily basis, do you live in such anticipation of Christ's return? Our second takeaway is salvation for all peoples. Let's look again at Luke 2:30 to 32. Simeon says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people, Israel." This is my favorite part of the Christmas story. This, every year when I read it to our family on Christmas morning, I cry. This is the best part for me of the Christmas story. This is why Mary bursts into song. This is why Zechariah goes from being mute for 9 months for the first words to come out of his mouth is music and praise and worship to God. This is why angels in innumerable numbers in the field to the shepherds are declaring glory to God in the highest. This is why Simeon at the temple waits day after day for Jesus to show up. This is why people before us have been willing to give up their wants, their desires, and even sometimes their lives. And this is why we are here tonight as a church. Salvation has come, and it has come for us. Not just for Israel, but for the Gentiles, for Israel's enemies, God's original enemies. This is why we burst into song of great joy, because now that salvation has been offered to us, we are now grafted into the vine with the Lord. We are now, like Israel, offered adoption. We now can have the title as children of God instead of enemies. That wasn't the case until Jesus came along. Paul backs it up in Romans 11:17. "But if some of the branches were broken off," that's Israel, "and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share and the nourishing root of the olive tree." We have a direct connection and reconciliation to our Redeemer, Jesus. Acts 28:28, "Therefore let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen." This is what Simeon said, a light of revelation to the Gentiles. Galatians 3:28, Paul says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." What was once only available to the chosen tribe has been now given to us, offered to us. How is that possible? The third takeaway, Christ on the cross. Simeon ends his song of praise and looks at the teenage girl, Mary. CGA, this is my awkward pause. So he looks at the teenage girl, Mary, and he gives her a prophetic hint of what is to come. Luke 2:34 to 35, let's read this again. "And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" Like Simeon, we cannot stop our gaze at the infant child, but must look to the King on the cross, who ultimately stands now alongside his Father in the throne room and will come back again. Our gaze does not stop at the child. Simeon didn't just see a baby in his arms, and neither should we. What laid in his arms was the answer. It was salvation for all peoples, all tribes. When he looked in his arms, what he saw was a conqueror. What he saw was a savior. What he saw was a consolation and a comfort. What he saw was his reconciler. What he saw was his redeemer. Do you know him by those names? Do you know him by those names? You can tonight. You can tonight. It takes a bowed knee to a king, casting off the worthless crown that you have built, casting off your worthless works and your ugly, selfish desires from your ugly, selfish heart. We've all been there. Casting it off at his feet and recognizing him as king. Repenting of your ways, leaving them behind, and said, I'm going to stop worshiping my selfish desires, and I'm going to worship you, Lord. You can have that tonight, which would give you reason to celebrate. It would give you the reason to truly celebrate Christmas. If you know him, you have reason to celebrate. I encourage you to celebrate. The worship team is going to come up here in a few minutes, and we're going to sing a few more songs. And during that time, if you are a believer in Christ, if you are a follower of Christ, I encourage you to raise your hands, to praise God, to pray to him, and worship him as King Jesus. He will come back again. He came to this earth to rescue us. I want to close this time, and I'm going to ask the worship team to work their way up here, but I'm going to close with a poem about Simeon that John Piper wrote many years ago. And as I read the poem, I just encourage you to bask in the words and to thank Jesus and give him glory. Come, children, gather round tonight and listen in the candlelight to how your great-grandfather died. It is a tale my father tried to fix inside my heart so deep that children after me would keep the story of their hearts and try to live like him and like him die. Come, listen now. His Hebrew name was Simeon. His wife was lame until she died 5 years before the old man saw the baby king. The kids were grown and everything was ready when the old man heard your great-grandmother's final word. My father heard it, too, she said. Dear Simeon, since we were wed, full 60 years of love to me have passed and ripened you to see. What kings and righteous men of old have longed to see, the Lord foretold, a day of consolation here. In Zion he would appear. The Spirit testifies tonight that you shall see and live this and see the light of all our dreams rise like the dawn of righteousness when I am gone. Does that mean, Daddy, she would die? Yes, she would die. Now listen why. With love, old Simeon leaned down and gently stroked the silver crown of his dear wife and softly said, the Spirit also says tonight that you will see the dawning light. Before it breaks on me, if I have ripened in my love, then why, I wonder, will God first pluck you, except that you have ripened too? They smiled one of those knowing smiles with 60 years and countless miles of secret ways and silent days. My father said he saw the rays of heaven cross her face, and then she died. Were you there, Daddy, when great-grandma died? No, son, your dad was just a twinkle in the glad and hopeful eye of your grandma. I wasn't born, but your grandpa. Remember every word, and then? Well, then old Simeon wondered when the time would be of which she spoke. The years went by, he'd sit and stoke the fire at night and meditate on holy prophecies till late. And then he'd lie in bed and pray that God would hasten soon that day of light. 5 years, and then it was a quiet time at last because the Jewish pilgrims had gone home. A month or so had passed since Rome took count of David's offspring in Jerusalem, and now the din of all those days was very still. And Simeon sensed, within a thrill, that God was near. He lay awake and waited for the Lord to take his hand and lead him to the light. And then it happened late one night. He woke like Samuel to hear a voice, "Wake, Simon, Simeon, don't fear. Tomorrow you will see the Lord. He will be meek without a sword, without a spear, without a shield, or an army in the field. Go early to the house of prayer, and as you kneel and worship there, give praise for mercy to my name, and I will manifest the same." At dawn, the old man knelt where he had prayed for years and now could see. The rich and poor draw near to give some sacrifice that they might live. He looked at every worshiper and waited for his heart to stir. When the Messiah came to pray, he thought, it will be plain as day. When he walked through the temple gate, but Daddy, Jesus couldn't wait. A minute now, did Simeon know? It is a human trait to show that we expect to find the best, attended well, and finely dressed. And even Simeon was stunned that God, with all his strength, had shunned the way of wealth when God revealed, it is the yonder child concealed. Within the simple woolen shawl, could Simeon believe that at all? God ever promised lay asleep like treasure bundled in a cheap and tattered sling. Think on it now. Would you believe that God somehow became a child? He did believe and lay the baby on his sleeve and trembling let the Spirit fill his mouth now by the sovereign will. Oh, God of grace, let me depart and see more fully what thou art in heaven with my precious wife and thee in everlasting life. For all thy word to me is done, with love old Simeon leaned down, and I have seen the promised one. The great salvation thou hast made for every people, every trade, a light to guide the nations well, and glory too for Israel. And then he stopped. The parents were amazed. He set his eyes on her, the young and pretty peasant girl, and said, this child is like a pearl. Some men will forfeit everything to have his love, while others cling to worthless things and forfeit life. He is the source of peace and strife. In many thoughts, he will reveal that men have thought they could conceal. And you, most blessed woman too, will see what wicked men can do. Your love to him will take its toll, and like a sword will pierce your soul. Then again, the old man bowed and smiled and disappeared. What happened then? That evening, Grandpa found him when he came from work. The fire was on, the scroll unrolled, but he was gone. His finger lay upon the line that said, a brilliant light will shine. And now, my children, tell me this. Do you believe that Jesus is the fairest, the brightest, strongest light that ever was or is tonight? If so, then light this candle 3 and sing a song of hope with me. Merry Christmas, Redeemer Church. Merry Christmas. Salvation has been offered to us. I encourage you to stand up. And let's worship our King Jesus.